You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Talensky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax, the podcast with tastiest web development treats out there. Today we've got a Syntax highlight for you. This is where we will review your portfolios and tell you what we think. We get a lot of questions about like, oh, here's my portfolio. What do you think? Or I'm just like, I've applied for 30 jobs and I can't get anything from it. And like, what's the issue? And what do you think about my presence? So we go through these and sort of like critique, say what we do like, what we don't like, and provide some helpful tips along the way. We are sponsored today by three awesome companies: Sanity, Structured Content, CMS, Log Rocket. They do JavaScript session replay, and Magic Bell does notifications for your application. We'll talk about all of them partway through the episode. With me, as always, is Mr. Scott Talensky. How are you doing today, Scott?
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. I'm feeling good, man. We had a bit of audio difficulties getting ready today, but hey, man, I am ready to go. Today is the first day of kindergarten for Landon, and, you know, stood in line like a boss and waved to his teachers and seemed like, you know, I mean, he's a pretty shy little guy, and Courtney and I aren't like extroverts. We're both pretty shy in social situations. So like,
yeah,
for him to kind of step up and stand there with the kids while some of the other kids were screaming and yelling for their parents, and like, man, it made me feel really proud that he was just like, all right, I'm excited. I'm going to walk into school and do my thing. And so, yeah, it was a special moment today. I'm, you know, really, really excited for him.
That's awesome. The first day is always the toughest for us, but I'm excited that it went well for you. I'm here in my new office, so please excuse the echo. I just moved in last night, and I have no sound treatments in the office at all, aside from a rug. So it's going to sound very echoing here. Cavernous is the word. Yes, exactly.
What are you going to do for sound treatments? I'm curious.
Kind of same thing that you did, is just get a bunch of those panels. Yeah. I've been looking at them, and like the hard thing is that I don't want it to look like garbage. I don't want to get the like gamer panels, because like that looks awful. It's kind of
not, don't do anything.
Not the vibe. Yeah, yeah. They're, you could just buy them on Amazon, and they don't do much.
Wes, I'm going to tell you straight up, they don't do like anything. Not that they really don't do much. They don't do anything. Yeah, the frequency response. The foam isn't nearly high density enough, and you're going to want something more
sound more waves. Yeah. I think I'm going to make pretty much the ones that you have, which is like a 6-inch or 3-inch rock wool with a frame and then some fabric around it. I just need to find like fabric that looks decent. Mm-hmm. I've also been looking at these like pressed felt panels. Those look really cool. Yeah. I like that look a lot. But it's all about the size, right? Like if it doesn't fit good, like I spent a lot of work making this office look nice. So I don't want to just like throw up something that doesn't totally fit the room.
Also, yeah, I'm going to say, even if you do with something that like go with something purposefully that does look nice, I think you should at least build a couple or more than one or two of these rock wool panels with the thing, because there's really nothing quite like the amount of sound that this stuff soaks up.
Oh, yeah.
I
filled my office with it. It's amazing. Now, like when I had it totally insulated, it was so nice to be in here. And now, now that I drywalled it, it's like echoey again.
Yeah. I know. The moment I moved my panels into my office, it turned into like just a lovely, lovely sound.
So you have those corner ones, right? Like I've been thinking like, oh, I should do a couple corner ones, and then like maybe
four
like
corner ones. Yeah.
Wow.
They go from the floor all the way to the top in front of me, because when I'm talking, I want that audio to just get trapped. I want it to stop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is that like I have this behind me, and it's going to be like not my set, but like it looks decent on camera. Not yet. I haven't got my camera hooked up, but like in front of me, I don't really care. And is that what you have?
Yep. So behind me is what's important, or in front of me is what's important. So I have one directly on each side of my ears here, and then another set right in front, and then I have two on the ceiling, and then I have four in the corners, and then I have a massive one directly in front of me. that you won't be able to see behind my camera here.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's a bit overkill for my space, but yeah. Better overkill than underkill in the audio.
Do you have one on the roof as well? Or the ceiling?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I don't have the height really for that. I guess I could put it over my desk, but then that would block the lights. Like I'm in the basement here. So I only have seven and a half feet and you're taking 6 inches. How deep are they? 3 or 6 inches?
These are about, I would say they're about 3 inches. Yeah. Okay. I have one that's 6 inches, but not the roof ones.
It's probably just a 2x4 on its side, which is 3.5 inches. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Cause the rock wall is made to be put into 2x4 studs. So it would make sense.
Yeah. So they're not 2x4s. They're like laminated, whatever, but it's probably a 2x4 size.
Yeah.
Cause they're not heavy. Yeah.
Like a laminate, like a plywood, right?
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should use that.
I'll take some pictures for you.
Yeah.
I'd love
to do it. We'll need to get that going. Cool. Well, let's get on into the syntax highlight. We'll have a whole show on soundproofing and noise cancellation and all that stuff, but let's get into these. First one we have here is from Ruben Oliveira. Hey, first off, I love the podcast. For a new developer, the tips you share are gold. I'm submitting this so you can review it as part of syntax highlight. It is a simple portfolio website built in Flask, which is a Python framework. My inspiration comes from Scott's website. I really enjoy it due to its simpleness. Regards. All right. So off the bat, this is a homepage you land on. It says an experienced sysadmin with soft spot for web development. More info here. And then links off to his GitHub, his LinkedIn, Twitter, and his YouTube. Let's go see what those are. Oh, this is kind of cool. There's couple of YouTube videos posted, links off to Twitter. I always like when people post, like if you're going to link to any of your socials, make sure you actually have stuff on those socials. There's nothing worse than when someone links to something and there's nothing on that. And it's just like, immediately I think, oh, this is a template like that you just slapped together because like, why would you put your YouTube on here? But I click through to all of them, the GitHub, the Twitter, and his YouTube, and they all have content on it that shows that it's very interesting. Ooh, he's got one of my stickers on his ThinkPad. Extra points for that, Ruben.
I noticed like a little bit of lag when you click any of the main nav items. Like, is it fast for you, the website?
It is fast for me. Let me refresh here.
Refresh, you know, and just click any of the nav items.
Let me I'm going to turn the cache off. No, it is lightning fast for me. I'm wondering if, let's see, is there a specific framework that is being used? Because sometimes what these frameworks do is they will try to lazy load all the content first and then move the user. And if that's the case, whether your browser is being slow or like you're on a slow network, sometimes people build these things locally and the thing is snappy, snappy, snappy. And then you put it online and there's no, like normally on a website, your browser will show you that something is happening. But if you don't have, what's the little bar at the top that everybody uses to show
like
loaders?
A loading animation.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you why it feels slow to me. It's interesting. I would imagine that this is, let's see, we have static folders. It looks kind of like in some ways it does look forked from my site. So I'm wondering if it is forked from my site, but it does. It's interesting to me how like I'm noticing like a half of a second lag. You click and just wait a second and then the page loads. I don't know if there's something weird going on over here because I had some loading issues with the page at first. And like you said, maybe it's like a DNS thing on my end, but interesting.
Yeah. So there's a blog post with actually some decent blog posts on there on how to do things. And it's kind of unfortunate that they're not being pulled into the homepage. Because I feel like the homepage might be a little bit too simple because you land on and you're like, oh, there's not much here. But if you click through to the blog post, you're like, oh, there's actually some decent blog posts here. And if you click through to the projects to showcase all the work, there's some decent stuff there. So I think maybe a little bit more polish to surface the content. I don't know. Something about it. Like you visit these sites and you're just like, oh, this is just a quick website. Even though people try to go simple, What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know what? I think it the simplicity isn't necessarily a problem to me. There are some things that, like, I think the simple can work with more polish, like you're saying. Like, when we say more polish, there's just like a few little things, you know. For instance, like when we do the dark mode, light mode, the dark mode is just like the blue. You lose that nice red color. Man, you can keep that red color in the light mode. But all around, I think some of the spacing just feels weird, right? Like,
yeah, so a bit too much.
Your nav, but even like the main nav, you have home, about, projects, and posts, which are all really cramped, and then kind of an odd amount of space that's either like not too much, but also like not enough to turn the dark mode off. Like, either put that dark mode toggle right next to it and make it like more obviously a toggle, or move it further away. Cause right now it feels like it's just like the nav is kind of weird. So I would space out those nav items a little bit more and then move that dark mode over. And same with like the homepage, you have your social stuff right there. The spacing on those is either too far apart or something. Like, just doesn't feel like the GitHub link, right? That GitHub link is indented right underneath the paragraph. I don't know why. Like, you could bump that over and have it be in line with the left-hand side.
You know what happens? You see that a lot what we're referring to is there's probably like a list of links somewhere, and every link has like a padding left, or there's a padding around on the whole social links div.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's a padding.
The whole website is anchored to the left, except for this set of links. And the padding in between on the top and the bottom of these links is not the same because there's an H2 after, right? And like that type of thing, that bugs me because it's just like, this is kind of awkward in this space, right? So I also think like I have a big monitor, and I think like if I make my browser smaller, it feels a bit more tight and polished. But if I have it on a big monitor, everything is scaled up too much, and like I have to jog across the screen to read it or have to scroll a lot to see it. Like, if somebody has a big monitor, it doesn't mean that they just want bigger text. So maybe, yeah, maybe put a higher limit on that.
Ruben, I'm going to fix your social nav right here in 2 seconds. So if you were to inspect Element on your social nav, it's main social, you'll see what Ruben's done here is he's given this thing a width. It's a justified content and a padding. So what happens is it gets the width and then it just spreads these things out. On the desktop view, you know, maybe on mobile view, make that thing width 100 or whatever, but on desktop view, make it width auto. Remove the padding entirely. Here's a tip out there for all of you. If you are using Flexbox or anything where you want to space items out in a Flexbox context, do not use padding. That's going to put a padding on either end. Use gap. GAP. Gap is the property you want because it doesn't put padding on the sides. So Ruben, so get rid of the width, get rid of the padding, get rid of that justified content, and just say display flex gap 30 pixels. Bingo, bango, looks way better. I think that using gap instead of padding is the type of thing that will showcase that you kind of know your way around CSS in a better way. There's some like kind of interesting little things here throughout in terms of like how he's utilizing Flexbox. Doesn't necessarily feel like a commanding control of Flexbox in a way that you might want for somebody. But even like there's a main div with a class of main. You don't need a main class on that main div. There's only one main div ever on your site. So, I mean, that's super nitpicky if we're getting into that kind of stuff. But another thing is check out these main, if you're on the homepage, about and /projects. Check out what element those are, Wes. What do you notice?
Check out the.
So on the homepage, you have a basically a main nav that's showing you like
with a nav tag, and there's a div with anchor links inside of them.
Sorry, not that nav. The on the homepage where it says Ruben, it says his thing is socials, and then about, projects, posts underneath that, the big old links.
Oh, they're all H1 tags with H3s again. This is something we say on pretty much every show, is that you need to go back and listen to the show about good markup. You should really only have one H1 tag on the page. And if you're using these tags because you want them to be that size, that's not a markup issue. That's a style issue. There's another one we say is that like, accessibility issues with color contrast and whatnot. Just take 2 seconds and run your website through it. This is something everybody hits.
Yeah. So Ruben, just don't make those H1s. You could make them H3s and then style them with CSS. But yeah, that's the ultimate rule. And we'll say it again in this episode because I've already seen it in a couple of these. It's actually funny. Before you submit your website to the syntax highlight, just paw through it and make sure that there's only one H1 per page and that it's like what it's supposed to be. Because I'm going to be a broken record this episode.
It's very, very true. And we should say, and I've even called this out before in the past, is that I saw somebody do H1 with a class of H3. And I remember at the time being like, who would do that? Awful. It's fine to create classes that have the style. Maybe don't call it H3, but call it heading 3 or something, or size 3. Just make a whole bunch of helper classes so that you just pop a class on it to correspond with how large the tag should be, rather than thinking about, I want it to look like this, then I need to make it this specific HTML tag.
I would go as far as saying that, like, that's not only fine, that's great. Dude, that's go great. For that.
Yeah, yeah, it's whatever. Good. And like in the past, I have many times said that was silly and that was wrong, because I was definitely, we should add that to we have a
the
show
stuff
notes.
You're wrong about.
We have a whole show, things we were wrong about.
Wes finally adding something to the there. Stuff he was wrong about section to join me.
I
think my coldest take of all time was Java boot camp is unnecessary when, like, yeah, there's a lot of Java out there.
Oh, yeah. The Java folks got feisty at you for that one.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, man, that's great. And the last one we have here is there's no fav icon. Pop a fav icon in there, Ruben. You could use a little Ruben sandwich. I think that would be fun. That adds a little whimsy.
Could you imagine we open this website and there's like Ruben sandwiches everywhere? I think Wes would lose his mind here.
All right, we'll go to the next one here. You want to grab the next one?
Yeah, the next one is Adam. And Adam, I'm sorry, I'm going to mispronounce your
Collier. Yeah.
Collier. Need Wes for the French pronunciation if this is in fact French. AdamCollier.co.uk. And again, we'll have the links for all of these in the show notes. This one I thought was really nice. It's clean and clear. There's you know, nice basics going along here. It's very, you know, plain. So to say, there's not a ton going on, but there is some like fun little things. I have a lot of little nitpicks with this site because it's totally fine, right? There's like a blog, there's a main page, there's what he's listening to on Spotify and his latest resources. Some of this stuff feels like what you need, Adam, is like a bit of information design in terms of like what's important information on this site and what are you presenting as the important information. Because the hey, I'm Adam, and then a quick paragraph, that's the kind of stuff I want to read first, but then my eyes kind of go directly to the latest post, which is fine because it's, you know, outlined in a box. But then it goes kind of directly to the Spotify area, where like the Spotify area is the darkest section of the page. It has a lot of images. It takes up a lot of space. And that's ultimately the least important thing on the site. So that's kind of some of the beef I have. But overall, you know, the clean and clear design is not a problem. I think the only like major issue I have with Adam's site here is that he has this really cute bottom navigation that's kind of like a dock style navigation at the bottom. And that's the main navigation of the site. But one, it's way, I would say it's too small. It's too out of the way. And it's in, for me, it sits right on top of the Spotify stuff. So it gets totally lost. I can't see it. And so when I go to the site, I think, all right, it's just a simple basic site. And I don't even see that navigation. It almost might be better to have that navigation top right or something, or have it larger. Another thing is, I don't know what any of these icons mean, man. You got, you know, like something that looks like a newspaper, a house. Okay, that's home. We got blog, code. So maybe that's like projects or something that looks kind of like a hard drive. No idea. And then something that looks like a Pinterest and then headphones and then Twitter. Twitter's the only one that I really know what it is.
You know what is interesting about this is that he went out of the way to put Aria labels on everything. Good job. Yes. But there's no title tags on your links. So if I hover them, if I hover over them, I have, there's no title tag that pops up. So, you should be putting both on, I believe, or yeah,
because
it's,
and here's what I would do, because this navigation is so fun and it's designed so well, this cute little navigation, I think it's designed really well. Just design a nice little tool to something to go along with it.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of, obviously put the title tag on there or whatever, but also just give that extra thing because nobody knows what these things are.
Yeah, because the background of this nav is blurred. Like, that's a nice touch. The There's icons a lot of nice are touches, yeah. evenly spaced. This site has a lot of really nice touches, especially when you get into, you go to the blog post page, and all the blog posts are on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side is all of the information about the post. And then inside, there's even one more column that show you all the headings inside of it. Excellent, excellent way to do a blog post. I really enjoy that. There's a whole inspiration page, kind of like a homemade Pinterest, which I love because, like, host your own stuff, go for it. That's amazing. It seems like there are a lot of like projects inside of this specific website. The blog is really nice. It's not just I wrote two blog posts and I put a link to it. It's like there was some time spent on this type of thing. And there's a whole resources thing that show links to different resources that he has. The Spotify, I really like when people pull in Spotify and books and movies that they've been reading. It just shows a little bit of personality. Plus, like, you get to design around album art and video art, which is always really, really cool. So I quite like this. I think that the nav could use a little bit of work, but this is a great example of a website that has more polish than some of the ones. You know how we've been saying for a lot of these, like, oh, it needs a little bit more polish. This is probably a good example of a website that has that good polish.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, Adam, because I did say a lot of negative things about it. The spacing is great. The polish level, like I said, looks great. Even that Spotify area, which I'm saying takes up a lot of like heft, it looks really nice. And just about everything on this page looks really nice. When you use color, the colors look nice. When like the typography, everything looks really nice. I think just to take it to that next level.
Needs a header and a bit more color.
Yeah. Make that nav just a little bit, I don't know, a little bit more obvious. For some way, at nav more obvious for me in labels,
yeah,
and ship it. I'll ship it. That's nice.
Ship it. Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful.
Let's take a quick minute to talk about Sanity, one of our sponsors today.
Yeah, you want to build, let's say you're building a personal website. You're sitting there being like, oh boy, I sure would love to be on Syntax Highlight and show Scott and Wes that what I want to use, but whatever, wherever am I going to put the data for my website? Well, Sanity is an awesome spot for that. What you do is you sign up for Sanity. You can start a new project right from the CLI, and you can start going and making all your content types. Okay, this last website from Adam, which, by the way, has an excellent fav icon. He's got blog posts, resources, maybe like pins, part of your portfolio. Those would all be content types. And then you can, inside of each of those content types, you create your different fields that are associated with that content type. The date, your text, the title, you get the point, right? You can relate them all to each other. And then Sanity, out the other end, you can use this thing called Sanity Studio, which gives you an awesome UI for actually editing all of this content. Then once you have your content in the CMS, you can go and pick your favorite framework of choice. They work with all the big ones, Svelte, React, Vue, you name it. It's just an API at the end of the day. You can build out a really, really cool website with Sanity. So check it out at sanity.io/syntax. I'll give you double the free usage tier. Thank you, Sanity, for sponsoring.
Sick. Next website on this one is from consolecmnd.com, consolecommand.com. And this is one, if you are listening on the car or whatever, give this episode a fave and look at this website later. This is probably my favorite website that I've seen so far in Syntax highlighting. It says, check out my portfolio at consolecommand.com. We'd love to hear your feedback. I have some opinions and see all the faults. It's fun to see how we align. It will be fun to see how we align because, you know, there are certainly some things that I think could be a little bit better about this site, but dang, great use of color, great use of kind of like dissonant color and maybe like retro styling in this thing. It has such a good old school terminal feel to it, but at the same time, it's very designery. For those of you who aren't looking at this thing, there's a lot of kind of like pixelated graphics, but at the like same time,
glitching, yeah.
Glitchy kind of style, bright greens. Oh man, it's cool.
This is awesome.
I think the thing I appreciate most about this site is, there's a lot I appreciate about it, but the thing I think I appreciate most about this site is it's a fairly atypical layout, right? So many of these, it's like the header, a paragraph, and then whatever. This is kind of like this weird box, atypical grid. It's not like a straight up normal grid. Things take up different spaces in the grid. But it all kind of fits together in a way. It's very unusual in its layout, but the layout really works. I mean, this thing snaps. Yeah, this is great.
This website is absolutely full of nice touches. From the custom cursor on the website, like it's not a weird cursor, but it took me a second. I go, oh, what's different about this? Oh, it's a custom cursor. That actually feels really cool. All of the items in the projects, when the page loads, just have like a, I don't know, 5-10 pixel animate in. So just a slight little, ooh, that's nice. And you click through to one of them. There is a lot of canvas work here that is doing the animation and the glitching of everything. So it's just like, you go to any little one of these nice touches on this website and you go, oh man, that must have took them a little bit of work. That's a little bit of work to make this sunglass moon that's moving around. And oh, when you hover over the nav items, that's a little bit of work. And it's just every little thing on this website is not over the top or obnoxious, but you go, oh, and this is the ultimate flex on a website, I think, is that like, yeah, I can build all this type of stuff. And honestly, I think your portfolio and your personal website should be the spot where you are going a little bit over the top and flexing a little bit, because we can build this stuff. It just takes a bit of time, right? So yeah. A+ on this. I think it would probably fail a lot of the accessibility color requirements with the green on green.
You think so?
I haven't run it. Let's see.
It seems pretty contrasty to me. He's using really bright green on top of a dark green. And like you said about this, like this website being a flex, I think that the most flexy part about this website is that it's like obnoxious, over the top, done in a way that doesn't hurt the experience. It's like they have perfect control over just how much they're giving you. And the parts of the site that like the all projects page, it's like where you want to see all of their projects. That's just like a straight up Pinterest style layout grid with, you know, an image and text. At the end of the day, if you were to remove all the flashy stuff from around here, it's a really basic layout where you can really get the information you want. And I think it works so well.
Oh, I was wrong about the color contrast. It all passes. There's like one little thing. There's like the little blinking thing. It says it's a contrast issue, but I wouldn't worry about that. That's A+. Wow.
Yeah. Go to the about page and you'll see like a, I don't know, is that like an omelet or nachos or something flag? It's nachos.
Nacho flag. No, it's canvas too.
It's just like, it's one of those ones where like, this could be obnoxious, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's very much my style.
I found my first issue here, Scott. Never mind.
Okay, let's see it.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Scroll down to the footer, bottom right. Tell me what you see.
Bottom right. Out of all the little things that this website gets right, it has the one of the most classic issues of all time, folks. If you want to, okay, I'm gonna say this. We're gonna do a little quiz here. If you're out there in your car and or your headphones, and you're thinking if there's an issue in a footer of a website, just shout out what that issue could be. It's the wrong copyright date.
You know what probably happened? This is a Gatsby website. No, he probably built it on page build instead of doing it on client. So you need to build something that reruns in the browser and actually updates that content. But no, because it should. Okay, let's see here. Is this website on GitHub?
Let's see
if this website is on GitHub. This is a Gatsby website for sure.
It is using Webpack.
That's what Gatsby.
What clued you to the fact that it was Gatsby?
I view source.
I know what in the source because I'm looking at it.
Oh,
I'm just curious.
That's a good question. How did I know? Let me see. I was. Oh, maybe it's not. Hold on.
Nope. Oh, it is Gatsby. Yeah.
Div with idea command. Gatsby focus wrapper. Here we go. Yeah, that's cool. How you know. Okay, we got to find, see if this website is on GitHub and see what the issue with the footer is. So can we find a link to this person's GitHub? Oh, Calgary-based front-end developer and interactive designer. Shout out to Canadians. I don't even know what this person's name is.
Yeah, that's actually maybe a critique about that. We don't know this person's name. Oh, the highlight color's like a beautiful pink too. And the pink kind of
just keeps on giving.
Yeah, it doesn't appear in very many places on the site, if at all, this pink color. I guess it's the same pink color that's in the glitchy parts, but like, what a flex there. They're like, you know what? I'm just going to throw this obnoxious pink highlighting color on top of a neon green. And you know what? You're going to like it. It's just going to work.
Oh, I think I found it. No, this is not it. This person's very mysterious. We'll never know. Actually, you could probably inspect the React component with the footer. I believe that is hard-coded. All right. Mm-hmm. So other than the hilarious issue, unreal job. You should definitely go check this website out and click around and spend some time on it. Inspect element. This is one of those fun websites where like I feel like we've gotten a little bit further away from that. Like, I don't know, 15 years ago in web development, websites were fun and interesting and they were like a playground for people to hit. And now I feel like a lot of like personal websites are sort of just doing the same thing. And it's really fun to see somebody go a little bit outside and have some fun with it.
And, you know, Wes, later on in this episode, we are going to hit a website that is also being kind of fun, but it is not nearly as successful. So it'll be fun to talk a little bit about where fun goes wrong, so to say.
All right, next one we have here is sz-development.tech. Everybody's using these .tech domain names. Hey. Sponsors panning out for .tech. So as soon as you land on it, it has a nice big photo of, Simeon? Yeah. Simeon Zimmerman. Awesome job. First thing that I don't like, though, they put the mobile nav on desktop, which is a excellent nav though. So when you do click it, it's really good. But like, what do you think about that? When you go to a website and you have to click something to see the nav, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's funny because I wrote that in the notes, desktop hamburger menu. But then when I used it, I'm like, oh, this is really, it's a nice menu. So I was going to actually do the exact same thing. If I got to start talking about this one first, I would have said, hey, Wes, I don't know how I feel about this, but it's nice. What do you think? Just to push it to you. Yeah, I don't know, because I really like the implementation of their hamburger menu, but I don't like a hamburger menu typically on a desktop ever. And I would say, please don't make me do that extra click to get to your main nav.
Yeah. Besides that, this is awesome. I think it's underrated that developers get photos. Like, it seems a bit weird to like go on a photo shoot and have photos taken. Like, I've done it, and it's luckily my sister is a photographer, so I don't have to go with somebody and be like, hey, take some nice photos of me. But like, this is immediately the website has a good vibe because he has nice photos of himself and is able to show who he is. I'm Simeon Zimmerman, your software engineer for Node, React, and GraphQL. Bam, right to the point. Not like saying every single framework he's ever touched and like every CSS thing, but just like, these are the main things that I work on. Obviously, probably very good at other things as well, but just straight into the point. Don't have to read a whole lot. colors on here are excellent. Font is very nice and crisp. The projects it references uses iPads to display. I feel like that's kind of like a, I feel like that's kind of played out using the iOS device. You can call me out because I have many, many websites like this. I think it's a bit of an issue because as soon as the new device comes out, then immediately it looks outdated.
And that's already an old, that's an old tablet at this point.
Yeah,
they don't exactly. That design isn't out yet. Yeah,
like the big bezel on the iPad. But if you hover over the projects, it immediately will show you the, what it is and what tech went into it. I love that. So like you hover over one, it says G2 Esports, PHP, JS, HTML5, and SAS. I think HTML needs a new logo, don't you think? Like the HTML5 is 12 years old now. I think we just need a regular... What are you going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, because we do this on Level Up Tutorials. We have the logos for the filters for the tech.
Yeah.
And CSS and HTML do not have good logos. There's no real logo for CSS. We even like kind of made our own and it's not even that interesting. So like, yeah.
I went down that rabbit hole.
A good logo. And HTML being just a number 5 and CSS being a number 3 now, like the CSS 3 logo. Those logos were fine when HTML5 and CSS3 were the, yeah, the business, but like, yeah.
Yeah, what did we do about that? I actually went down the rabbit hole, I don't know, 8 years ago with somebody and hoping to design a logo for CSS and sort of just present it to the community as to like, yeah, hey, this is it. I thought about it and then like, I didn't like it. And like, and then I was like, do I really want to be the guy who designs the logo? But maybe we should. Should we do it like as syntax?
Before you just told me that, I was thinking we should do this as syntax and like make it a point because it is such a thing that I think about. And like HTML, the logo could be really easy if you think about it. Like you just use those flat brackets or something in some sort of way. Like that's such a, or not the flat, like the.
Yeah. Or like a dinosaur, like ripping between the HT and the ML.
Mm. Or you could turn the greater than and less than signs to crocodiles.
Oh,
and they're like snipping at a, a sandwich in the middle or something.
We might need a designer that actually knows how to do better stuff than this. Do you think we should do this? Like, should we like make a GitHub and like have people collaborate and whatnot? Because I think it'd be really cool to have an actual HTML and a CSS logo that is as good as the JavaScript logo.
Yeah. And do you remember when the whole Node.js IO thing happened? There was like, so for those of you who don't remember this,
I'm laughing already.
Node.js had kind of like stalled out early in its life in terms of feature set. And so I don't know who was behind this. I should probably know a little bit more. They made IO.js as a kind of alternative to Node.js that would push the language forward a little bit. It even had its own IOJS.org. And they eventually ended up just like merging the two ideas. But for one like brief month or two, IO had some serious push. And one of the greatest GitHub threads ever in my mind was the issue for designing the logo for IO.js. They spent more time designing the logo for IO.js than anything else. And there were so many good logos. There were so many good ones. I remember just like scrolling through this and being like, man. So I think the community out there, I think there's talented enough people out there that they could somebody could come up with something that would just work for everyone. Yeah, I want an HTML logo, definitely.
All right, hit us up, tweet us if you are interested in working on that. Maybe we'll just start like a GitHub proposals or something like that, because it's not like, yeah, let's do it. I think it'd be really fun. We'll figure it out. So we were talking about...
Okay. Hey, do you think his name might be Simon?
I think it's Simeon. It might be Simon, but I'm pretty sure it's Simeon.
Okay. On the record, I'm gonna vote for Simon.
All right. Let's go to Google.
Simeon. Okay. No, you're right.
Simeon.
Yeah, Google's saying Simeon.
Nailed it. I am only about 12% on names, but I think I got that one. Ooh, the animations between the pages are really nice.
Sometimes they get a little bit wonky, but it is nice that they exist.
I don't read. What language is this?
German?
German. That's what it looks like to me. So I don't read German, but I'm sure it says very nice things.
I have a critique about your interior pages, Simeon. So you have your homepage is really nice with this big hero and your language and whatever. But let's say we go to your portfolio page. Now, one thing that he's done here is he has a big hero area that's just blank space, except for it says my works and a collection of my newest projects. And then way far down are the actual projects. I mean, we're here to see your projects, man. We clicked on the link. I think at this point, we don't need a big hero on there. You could just slide all that way up, reduce the padding on there, and have the projects be the star. Because right now, when we go to your projects or any of your other pages, the projects themselves aren't the star. The star is my works, collection of my latest works. And then I got to scroll down to see all your projects. So like the homepage, it works really well. But typically, I think when we're going into an interior page, you got to like think about what are we here to do? And let's make that front and center.
The contact page submit button. Go take a look at that. Let me know what you think of that.
It does like a photocopier.
Yeah. It's got like a really harsh gradient on it. And then when you hover over top of it, it feels a little dated. Right away, I saw that, and I saw a purple terms and conditions link, which is the standard purple of something that you clicked. And then like a gradient button. And I was like, that is for sure an iframe of some like corporate embed for the contact form. And it doesn't actually look like it is.
It just looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels very 90s to me. So even like, I guess, even though it isn't 90s, the gradient feels 90s, but like, yeah. Yeah. I don't really necessarily dig that either. There's also like, it is the colors that you're using, but for some reason it feels, I don't know. There is something slightly off with the colors here, but it's hard to say exactly what. But yeah, the gradient definitely feels like you clicked the gradient button in Photoshop when you were in high school and just left it.
Oh, I think this is another Gatsby website and I'm going through it. There's a honeypot, misspelled honeypot, which is a technique that I made up for my Gatsby course. I wonder if he took that from there or if that's just, it says data Netlify honeypot. So I'm not sure if that is just a Netlify thing now.
It's a Netlify thing. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. It's not something, but I came up with the same approach in my own, I guess because Netlify is contact forms. Now, when I did my course, they didn't.
Mm. Here's another small critique for you. I do like when you go to the blog and there's these like three headings, algorithms, back ends and front end, whatever, like those are nice. And the hover over them looks nice. I think that really works. But here's what I would do, Simeon. Again, you have the big hero here. I would move those three main links up to the space where that hero is. And then instead of not showing any blog posts on this page, I would just show like the 10 latest blog posts on this page. Because right now you have a blog, but it takes two clicks to even see any of the posts. So like give me some of those posts off the bat and then make these filters just filters for those posts and have those be up front. And again, just on the detailed pages or whatever, it's nice, but like, man, you got to get rid of that hero on these things.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's pretty good. Check that one out for sure. That's a great, great example of lots of nice finesse in it as well.
Oh, sorry. One thing I did want to touch on the last site really quick before we go, the header name right now should be an H1. It's just an anchor tag. Ideally, those of you who are out here, here's the ideal approach to, you know, when you have a logo in the header or whatever, the ideal approach is that on the homepage, that's an H1. And then on interior pages, that's an H2. And then whatever, like the about text then becomes the H1. So just a little heads up, like typically when you're like on the landing page or something, that hero, whatever, ends up being the H1 and then interior H2. Just a small little aside there. Actually, let's take a quick second to hop in a rocket here and head over and check out logrocket.com. Logrocket is the perfect place to see how your users are using your site and tailor your experiences so that you can make sure that you're getting proper engagement. But also, you can stop guessing why bugs happen because they give you some really unique video replay tools that allows you to see exactly how users are using your site, whether that be through debugging a video replay, a video session replay, where you get an actual scrubbable video that you can check the network request, error logs, console, all that and more. It's really super good. And you can also see how users are diving through your site and tailor your user journeys based on how people are actually using this thing. It works with all the tools you know and love. You can self-host or use it in the cloud. And it integrates with all of the tools you know and love. We love LogRocket over here, so check out logrocket.com/syntax, sign up, and get 14 days for free. Thanks so much to LogRocket for sponsoring. Next website up is Richard Kerrigan, richardkerrigan.com. Wes, I am very curious how you would fix this site, because when you click on it, we have like a heading and a standard kind of nav that just shoots you down to this. But when you click on this site, it's basically blank except for the heading, and it just says "Nice to meet you" in large letters in this hero space. I'm very curious how you fix this. Yeah,
this website to me screams not necessarily new developer, but this, we saw a lot of this type of website in the bootcamp, people do that like big splash page, "Nice to meet you," or who they are, and then they don't have like even something that shows them that they have to scroll the page. So for some people, they might just, like for me, I know to scroll to check it out, but you would be amazed at how many times you put these types of websites in front of just regular people and they just go, "Oh, like, what do I do?" You know, like it's amazing how, like, what's that meme with the guy drinking a glass of water from the bottom? Yeah, you know that one?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a meme where a guy has a glass of water and he's trying to drink it by licking the bottom of the glass. And it's just a perfect way to describe people using your website, watching people use your website. It's hilarious that they don't necessarily know that. So I would definitely, like, there's this nice photo of him smiling right away, or not right away, after the bottom. I would definitely bring that up and just put the "Nice to meet you" underneath. Another thing that I see a lot is that the shadows on this website are too heavy-handed. Shadows really need to be dialed back. If you look at a lot of people who have nice websites, if you go back to Simeon's website, you don't even notice he has shadows until you go and explicitly look, because they are so, so subtle, especially when like he's doing a blue shadow around black text. Looks, trying to look neon. I don't think it looks that good. I think you probably dial that back a little bit. Same thing with the text is just way too wide. I'm pretty sure that the wrapper of this website says max width 80%. But if I put it on my 32-inch monitor here, again, I'm jogging from the one side of my monitor to the other side to read it. So you should always put a max width of probably a pixel value on a lot of your text. It's fine for images and things like that in some cases, but like this website is way too wide. In a lot of, even the contact form is just like probably 1500 pixels wide. So definitely would do that. Also, the color scheme needs a little bit of work. I would say like using grays is a little bit tricky. This is kind of personal preference, but that's a pretty standard gray. It's just black with a 25% opacity on it. I would definitely lighten that up a little bit. The borders on the images is using inset border, you know, like on a HTML table. So yeah. This is a website that is good. It gets the information across, things like that, but it's lacking the polish. In the bio, I work on two branded product websites and the links to the product websites, but they're not links. Like, what, I gotta copy paste them? I ain't got time for that. So I think that...
What was that voice you just did?
I ain't got time for that.
Let's critique that voice you just did. let's dive into that, Wes. One of the things that I would do on this to save it would maybe be, you know, this "Nice to meet you" is fine to have that as text, but I would take his face and the "about me" parts and put it in the hero. Put his face there, put that paragraph text there, get rid of that border inset. You know, the blue shadow, yeah, I don't like the blue shadow because it feels weird, but the other shadows are fine to me. Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, it's not everybody needs to be a designer, so it's not very clearly not like a designer site, but
yeah.
I think the nice to meet you section is still a dead space. You know, okay, nice to meet you can just be a sentence in part of the about me text and have that work.
That one's a pretty simple website, so I think we can wrap that one up and move on to the next one.
Let's do it.
Next one we have here is bradpreston.dev. Right away, it loads. I am a 28-year-old web developer from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Shout out, Michigan.
Kazoo.
Yeah.
Kazoo. Yeah. Scott and I won both. My first dance competition in Kalamazoo.
Did you really? I didn't know they call it Kazoo.
That's where our dog's from as well, our Pooley.
Ooh, Kalamazoo. What a fun word to say.
It's a fun
There's
word,
another
yeah.
one, Zealand in Michigan. What a fun name for a thing. Anyways, Brad Preston right away tells you what you have. Really nice purple with the text being, let's inspect this. What color is this text?
It's like orange pink, salmon.
Salmon color. Oh, I just... It looks like a gray when you inspect it.
Oh, I would have called this gray.
Yeah. But it's nice. It's not just white right away. So there was some time spent on that type of thing. Great font stack. I always like to see when people use the backup font stack. So he uses a font Poppins and then fall back to Apple system, Blink system, Mac font, Ubuntu, you know, like that font stack is great in case people don't have it. Buttons are good. So this is a good example of like, you don't have to have a huge website, but if you want to have a nice, simple little website, even like the header sticks and turn the header is sticky when you scroll, like that's a nice touch, you know? I think the only thing I would do is probably dial the border on the buttons back a little bit. They're a little heavy-handed, like, in my opinion. Do you?
I do. You want to know? It's funny is that I said this color is salmon. If you actually change the color to be the HTML or the CSS text color salmon, it's like almost indistinguishable from the color he chose. It's like very, very similar.
Oh, you have a. Maybe we should do that.
Try to guess the color name.
Oh, that's a great idea for the next live show.
Yeah.
We'll put up a color and give like three options and the person will have to guess either the hex. Oh, that would be great. Or the color, the hex, or the agent. Like,
oh my God.
We'll have like multiple choice for the audience. Okay. Oh, I like
that's
it.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Brad, I like your site. I think there's a lot of nice things going on in the site. Again, I think the only critique I have of the site really is that you could do like a type scale to make some of the type pop a little bit more, right, in terms of spacing and size. But I think the big thing for me is you're putting, as much as I care about your hobbies and your playlists and stuff like that, you're putting all that stuff above your work, your skills, and your resume and your contact information. The contact information, sure, that can be at the bottom. Maybe put your resume directly underneath your name here and then your work under that and then have your hobbies in your playlist. Because, yeah, I care about your hobbies and stuff. But, man, if I'm here to check out your work or check out your stuff and I instantly get to my favorite playlist, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I need that, you know, maybe after I get to know you a little bit more, Brett. But right off the jump, if I'm looking at this thing, the HTML is good. Everything's nice and simple. Good job, Brad.
This one kind of funky thing that happens is the buttons have a padding. And when you hover over the buttons, they have a background that fills them. But when you're not hovering over them, they look like they are indented. They are indented because they have padding on them, right? So if that's the case, you almost need to take the whole list of links and offset it to the left and then just have the... Because just looking at it without any hovering, especially on mobile, it looks like your links are accidentally indented, whereas none of the other content is. So I would probably look at an example. Also, download resume. I can't tell you how many times when I was doing work, people just wanted the PDF of my resume. That's a huge thing that people want. And a list of skills. This is something that people loved as well, is literally just have a bullet point list of Next.js, TypeScript, SAS, GraphQL, MongoDB, et cetera, et cetera.
People, and don't put percentages next to those.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Just the skills, man.
Plain old bullet point. Yeah, that's good.
You know what else is good?
I do.
Ringing that bell, that magic bell.
Magic Bell is a notification inbox for your product. If you add Magic Bell to your product, you can have announcements, billing, workflow, and other notifications. So you're building an app. You want to put notifications into your application. It seems easy, but it's actually a bit of a can of worms because you've got notifications on email. You got push notifications. You have like that like little bell in your application that shows your notifications. What if somebody gets a notification while they're in the app? Do you still send a push notification? They have smart notifications that will only send a push notification if it isn't seen in the app, so you don't notify all the channels at once. There's a lot to it. So if you need to integrate notifications into your application, I got a DM from somebody the other day. They said, hey, what was that notification sponsor you had? It's called Magic Bell. You need to go to magicbell.com and use a coupon code SYNTAXFM. That's going to get you 10% off the first 12 months. But they also have a free plan with 100 MAUs, which is
monthly active users.
You got it. Thank you, Magic Bell, for sponsoring.
MAU. Cool. All right, next one. This site's going to be really interesting, Wes. And I am curious to how you feel about it. It's Mike M. Neves, Neves at Mike M. N-E-V-E-S .com.
Yeah.
Okay. And this site to me took a massive amount of time to load. And then once it did load, I was confused because, you know, I'm even a GraphQL user. But this site pops open essentially what is the GraphQL playground, the graphical interface. But you're making me work for it, Mike. You're making me work for the information. For like when I come to your site and I want to see all your stuff and I see like a GraphQL query, it's cute that you have the GraphQL query, but the fact that I have to click play, the play button, to get the information, and then it's not fast by any means. It takes like a good 2 or 3 seconds to then load your information, and it returns it in JSON, which could be fine, but man, you're really making me work for it. And it's hard to kind of read everything. It's kind of hard to parse. It's a cute idea, but I don't think you really need it to be graphical. I think you could fake it.
Yeah.
I think you could have the GraphQL query.
It's impressive that it's legit GraphQL. I was like, is that actually a GraphQL? It's 2 megs to load the graphical playground. Probably not worth it.
It's definitely graphical, just skinned. And that's probably the problem. I think you could get the same effect in a much more usable way. I don't know why this site is so slow. Is a big concern for me. But then there's also this kind of big red Arcady button and an arrow that flies in to say, click on this button. And then you click on that button. And I think this kind of reveals why this site's slow. But still, man, you don't need this. Yeah.
So the actual, when you click on the Arcade button, it brings you to this /adventure URL, which is like a kind of a game that he's built. And then you, as you scroll, you walk through all of his soft skills. Which is really, really cool. But it's like pixelated right off the bat because it's done in images, and like the text should probably just be text. Like I should be able to copy paste that. And then I can't go back, and it says there's like hard skills ahead. So it seems kind of unfinished. So I think there's definitely like if this were finished and like maybe we're landing on this page directly instead of the GraphQL thing, I think that would be a really cool website where it's
You have to click on one of these three.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So, you know what?
Here.
Mike, it's really cool, but I think it's missing a lot of polish that would make this one of those like wow type of experiences. Yeah. There's a lot of like small wow elements in the video game thing. And it's cute. There's some cool stuff going on, but ultimately it's hard to use in a way that makes it feel like you're making us do a lot of work, right? We select and kill animals. Like, I don't know about the language either. Select and kill animals. If you're submitting this to...
And I just killed a bat and it says that the bat was 3 out of 4 at Git and 2 out of 4 at Docker. Yeah, kill that bat then.
Trying to be RPG like, and it's fun in many ways. There's a lot of great stuff, but what I really truly feel like here, Mike has a ton of ideas, and
yeah,
I think it just needs a lot more time in the oven is what I think.
This is really cool. I think like I'm very impressed at how far you are so far. And I think if you were to double down and make this game, I hate to say polished, but if you were to make it a little bit more polished and use not images, but actual text for a lot of these things, I think that this could be a very impressive portfolio website.
It could be really impressive. But
yeah,
I think the lack of polish takes it in the other direction where I'm like, this bums me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you dive in harder on this and you work more and just polish it up, man.
And last thing is the GraphQL thing. You got to put it's using like a sans serif font. I'm expecting that to be a like a code font,
monospace.
Right?
Monospace.
Yeah, monospace. It's something I always do for whenever I have coding blocks on a website. Is I will do the font stack of all the popular developer fonts. Operator mm-hmm. Mono, Dank Mono, Inconsolata. And you just do the font. You don't have to have them installed, but just try them all. Put the huge font stack, and chances are that somebody is going to have one of those fonts installed. If not, fall back to, what is it, Courier New is like a decent like coding font. So do that as well. And you don't have to load any custom fonts for the website.
Yeah, irregardless, I think this is one that you should check out. I think there's a lot of really cool stuff going on. But like you said, yeah, clean that thing up, make it double down, work hard at it. And I think this could be really, really, really interesting. All right, let's get into the part of the show where we talk about things that we think are sick, picks that we think are lovely and sick and fun. So Wes, do you have a sick pick for us today?
I do. So this is something that I am just getting into, but I'll sick pick it and maybe do like a follow-up pick. But this is the Volt One by U Audio. So Scott and I both have been having audio issues. I almost wonder if like my house got hit by lightning or something like that, because I've just been having like I live in the city and that never happens, but I've been having issues up the wazoo. And finally, I'm pretty sure this is the first podcast I've done where my audio hasn't gone cyborgy. And I replaced the Scarlett 2i2, which is a USB audio interface, with the Volt One. And the thing looks really nice. It's nicer than the red one. It does mono audio, which is always a pain with the Scarlett, because
yeah.
The Scarlett just puts, like, it has two inputs and then just puts it to one. I think they have a Scarlett 1i1 now that solves that, but it wasn't a thing when I bought mine. And apparently, their software, you can run processing on it as well. I'm not sure if this one does it. Somebody told me that you can do that, but like, you know how we have the DBX 286S? There's a couple of these now that you can run the processing on the unit itself, mm-hmm. Or run like a piece of software in your computer and that will do the processing. And I'm thinking like, oh, wouldn't that be nice to get rid of a piece of gear? And then
yeah,
just,
right. One extra thing.
Like the problems that we have with this audio stuff is that it's just so many pieces. And like, is it the headphones? Is it the microphone? Is it the cable that connects it to the box? Is it the processor? And there's too many points of failure along this type of thing. So the Volt One is what I use. It's cheaper than the Scarlett 2i2. It's super high quality. I've been really enjoying it so far. It's the first podcast. There is a bit of a crackle in this recording. We're not sure if it's me or Scott, but hopefully it's not me. Otherwise, I'm going to throw it into the river.
Yeah, I'm curious to where that crackle's coming from as well. I'm going to sick pick packing cubes. Wes, do you use packing cubes?
Packing cubes? What is that? Let me see this.
All right. I think I'm going to blow your mind then. So,
oh, I've seen these. Yeah.
Yeah. So Courtney bought these and I didn't really necessarily get it. But what they are these little like nylon bags. They're cheap. $20, right? $20 for a bunch of them.
Three.
And three? Is it just three? So yeah, she bought a couple of these. I guess that's not cheap. I was thinking it was like six from this image. Either way, these packs.
That's what your wife told you, yeah.
Yeah, right. So packing cubes are these little kind of nylon bags, and you pack in the bags, and then you put those bags into your suitcase. And we used these for when we went to Hawaii recently, and man, it made packing all of our stuff so much better. You put the kids' clothes in one, their pajamas, you put your socks, your underwear, your pants, whatever. And then when we were in Hawaii, we just left our stuff in the packing cubes rather than having to, you know, live out of a suitcase or unpack or whatever. And everything was so stinking organized. At first I was like, this is not a good buy here. I'm not interested in these things. And then I packed with them and I was like, packing cube all day. If you're traveling a lot, you're living out of a suitcase, I cannot suggest highly enough packing cubes to organize your stuff. Worked really nice.
That's awesome. I have a metal suitcase and I always overpack it. And the thing with the metal suitcase is that like there's no give in a metal suitcase. Like normally with like a regular suitcase, you can push it closed. And I think I need some of these so I can just like you put your toothbrush and everything in one and underwear in another. That would be really nice. So I'm going to take a look at these.
Yeah, I liked it. So yeah, check out packing cubes. All right, shameless plugs. I'm going to shamelessly plug leveluptutorials.com. We got a couple courses coming out this month. We got part two of our WordPress course from Nate Finch coming out, and we have a course from me on PNPM and mono repos. If you want to learn how to use both PNPM, but also how to work in mono repos without a whole bunch of extra stuff, right? Everybody says, oh, you want to do mono repos? You need Lerna, or you need NX, or you need this or that, or you need eight other services. Man, you don't need any of that. You just need a PNPM, and it's so simple and nice and easy. We have a massive mono repo for Level Up, and I don't want to say massive. We have a largish mono repo for Level Up, and it's awesome.
I will shamelessly plug westboss.com/courses, list of all the courses that I offer. If you want to learn a thing or two about JavaScript, CSS, HTML, you name it, web development, Node, you can use coupon code SYNTAX for $10 off.
Sick.
All right, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you on Friday. Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.